welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Let us pray. Lord, we lift you high. Everything else will fade away, Lord, but you said that your word would stand. And so now to the God with the standing word, the God who is the beginning and end, we come to you seeking your face, O Most High God. Yes. Now, Lord, please preach a word to your people. Oh, how we need to hear your voice. And so, Lord God, please hide me behind yourself, so that your people would see and hear you alone. We thank you for the gift of another day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, church assembled here, church in our respective homes and our jobs. Good morning to the Church of Jesus and to those who are not yet a part of the family of Christ. Today is the day of salvation. We pray that you would make a decision today to serve the Lord our God. We'll be reading from the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, on this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, meet me in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'll be reading a lengthy passage of scripture, and so if you'd like to take your seat, please be led. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1 begins this way. Here's the story from the Lord. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God, 9. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am alone, am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now, the Bible says, there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, and Abel-Meholah as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Verse 18. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Church, Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, had had enough. He was a marked man. He was targeted and running from the threats of Jezebel, who had already announced her plans to take his life. Elijah, my friends, was in a low place. He was exhausted from fleeing from the dangers, and he was tired even from the ministry as he triumphed over the enemy through the power of God. The prophet, this mouthpiece of the divine, had been singled out and sent into hostile territory by God with a message of correction. His presence, the prophet's presence, Elijah's presence in the community was a reminder that above all else, above all kings and queens, ultimate authority belongs to the Lord. His presence, this prophet Elijah of the holy among the community through this believer is a reminder that God is in the heavenlies, and yes, God also dwells among us. He was a reminder that God is all-knowing and all-seeing, a reminder that God can do whatever and whenever and however, because God is sovereign. And since, church, since God is sovereign, God can move through us and come to us however God decides. So, believer, this text is tailored to teach us that on this occasion, through this story that we read, in this season of his journey, Elijah met God in the silence. God of the silence. King David's reign was over. His successor to Israel's throne, the people of God, his son Solomon, was over. The temple had been built to honor God, the God of the ancestors, but through the disobedience of the faithful ones, the kingdom had been torn apart. And so now the people, the leaders, all of their hearts were far from God. And it was into this brokenness, into this very community, that Elijah was sent with words of correction from on high. He was fleeing the threat on his life. Elijah, the story says, Elijah spent the night in a cave, and it's there that God asks Elijah this question in verse 9, what are you doing here? Or maybe, Reverend, it was, what are you doing here? Or maybe it was, what are you doing here? We can't say for sure. But God asked the question, and thanks be to God, the Lord gave Elijah the space to answer the question to the best of what he could. God can handle your questions, church. And so Elijah responds, and he offers this litany of acts of obedience to God. He tells God all the great things that he had done out of obedience to God. And then he told God, he told on them, y'all. He told God about those crazy people. Tell God about those crazy people in your life. Tell God, he told God that they're trying to kill me. And that's not what we want, right, Lord? So that's why I'm here. And after God allows Elijah to answer his question about why he's here, he gives him instruction. He says, go out, or come out, Elijah. Come out and stand in the presence of the Lord, because the Lord is about to pass by. Church, stand firm in the place of the presence. How long, preacher, how long do I have to stand firm in the place of the presence? Stand there until you encounter the Lord passing by. And perhaps Elijah heard God's instruction, and while he was getting himself together on the inside of the cave, and while he was getting up to move toward the mouth of the cave, toward the opening, he heard a noise. And the Bible says there was a great wind. Now, this was no ordinary wind, church. This was no ordinary wind, Bible believers. This was the kind of wind that the Bible says tore apart the mountains and broke the rocks. This is the kind of wind that breaks apart the shelters of your life. This was no ordinary wind, church. Is there anybody here who's ever seen a great wind blow across your view? The kind of wind that God sends, or the kind of wind that God allows to be sent, the kind of wind that blows in and is capable of tearing apart the mountains. You know the mountains in your life, the places that you thought were untouchable, those mountains, the places that you thought were so high and mighty, too strong to crumble, those mountains, those places that you designated and you put a sign on it as a shelter, as a safe place to run from the storms of life, the mountains, one of the places where you started to run and hide, the mountains, the great wind tore them to pieces. Hurricane force winds were tearing apart Horeb, the mountain of God. How could you let it be, Lord? You built this shelter from your hands, from the clay of the earth. You built the holy place where you've met before with your servants. But on this day, church, the mountains were not sustained. And on this day, the word for Elijah was not in that wind. As powerful as it was, the word was not there in the wind. And the Bible says of this epic scene that after the wind, there was more. There was now an earthquake. After. What do you mean, Lord? After. After means next in line. After. Following this one thing, here comes another. After. And we don't know how much time passed after the winds. It could have just been moments. No time to recover from the devastation of the winds that wrecked your mountain, your safe places. No time to catch your breath from the winds. The winds grab hold of your lungs. The rocks swirling about your head from the winds. It could have only been moments after. Could have been days. We don't know. Are you still coming out, Elijah? Are you still walking out to the mouth of the cave to stand in the presence of the Most High God? And so the winds, and we're just catching our breath from the winds, and now something starts to rumble. Is that more wind, God? Now, Lord, after what just happened, but is that your voice? Is it now? Are you here passing by as the earth shakes? Tell the truth, church. You want to say you've got to be kidding me, Lord. And the sound of the earth shaking was once off in the distance, you know, over there with those people suffering over there. Far, far away. Those people impacted, but not us. But the noise, it grows closer and louder. And now your standing legs are wobbly and shaky. And that little piece of ground that you carved out for yourself, that little space, preacher, that you rested your life on, the foundation of your life, the foundation of your ministry, the church that steadied you from week to week, it's all on the move. In this season, we wonder how wide the ground is going to open up. And will, Lord, will there be aftershocks? And how about my family, Lord? Elijah, how about my family? Oh, if I left them behind, are they going to be okay, or is the ground going to swallow them up? To Lord, you've got our attention now. This must be it. This must be when the Lord is passing by with the word for us. This must be the time. I'm coming out to you, Lord. I'm walking. What is it that you have to say? Now our ears are open, but the Bible says that the Lord was not in the earthquake. after the wind that destroyed the mountains of our lives, and after the earthquake, the Bible says there came a fire. Church, people of God, after all that we've been through, are you still running into the presence? Are you still waiting, standing for the word to pass by? The fire. I wonder, did Elijah think, oh, surely this must be it. This must be how God is coming to us, Minister Tamika, because I'm familiar with this. I remember the all-consuming fire. Maybe Elijah remembered just a little while ago on another mountain, not Horeb, but Carmel, and he prayed this prayer. He said, oh, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God of Israel, that I'm your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have not turned their hearts back. And then the Bible says that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings. And then all the people saw it, and they fell on their faces. And they said, this Lord indeed is God. This Lord indeed is God. This must be it. God, you must be in the fire, because I saw you come to me that way before. And your power, it changed the hearts of the people. Let's go. Let's move. The fire is here. I'm ready, Lord. What is it? Could it be, Elijah? Is it possible, church, that the way that you've seen God move before, the way that you've seen God show up before, the way that you've seen God heal before, the way that you've heard God speak before, the way you felt God preach before, the way that you've seen the power come down before, may not be the same way this time? Is it possible? Are we open enough to hear and see God in a new way? God forbid, church of Jesus Universal, that we move too fast because we think we already know. Because the Bible says that the Lord of hosts was not in the fire. And the Bible says after the disappointments, that we didn't see God yet pass by. After all this time, how long, oh Lord? After you stop hearing the loud beating of your heart from the terror of the wind, after the earth stops quaking, after the flames are extinguished and there's nothing left but ashes, and it seems like nothing else has gotten better yet, after. The Bible says there was sheer silence. It's what the NIV calls a gentle whisper. And even more than gentle, it really means a thin whisper. It's thin like a veil, like a veil in the sanctuary, like a veil in the holy of holies, like a curtain. It's thin, it's delicate, it's small, it's fine, like dust. It's unlike any other way that God had just come. The glory was thin, like a dust that could easily be blown away in the winds. It's like a veil, a thin curtain, that like one that could easily be consumed by the fire. And so unless we're still on the inside, unless we're quieted on the inside, unless we cease our anxious and frantic movements, we could miss the Lord passing by. And so rather, Elijah, than allowing what he saw and felt to create such anxiety and fear that he was driven even deeper into the cave. Instead of doing that, he honored the presence of the Lord by covering himself, because no one can see God and live. And he stepped out still into the presence, into the power of the silence, because God is in the silence. God is in the silence. And the Bible says in verse 13 that Elijah heard it. Elijah heard it. He heard the sound of silence. We're used to listening for God in the noise, church. But can we hear God in the silent move? For this world, Elijah was a witness of God in his world. For this world, we are the reminder that God can be found in all times and in all seasons and in all conditions and in all places that we don't expect God to be found, that we had not even considered him to be God in the silence. For some, God is exclusively in religious activity, in the repetition of doing what is familiar. But God is also in the silence. For some, God can only be found in a particular translation of the Holy Scriptures, but God is also in the silence. For some of us, God is distinctly located in Jerusalem or only in the temple or the church house, or God is only in the east, or God in the sanctuary. God is only in the Hosanna. God is only in the crowd. God is only in the noise, but God is also in the silence. God, for some of us, God has never been seen while we've been on the run. For some of us, we've never seen God in the cave. For some of us, we've never met God in the kitchen. For some of us, we've never seen God in isolation. For some of us, we've never seen God in the hushed, hallelujah, or in the silence. But God is there, available in the silence, church. God is challenging us, church, to know that God doesn't only come one way. Silence is not the absence of the presence. Let me just tell you about the God of the silence. It's in the silence that God asks us questions. What are you doing here, church? What are you doing here, mother? What are you doing here, father? What are you doing here, sister, brother, child of God? What are you doing here, nation? Examine yourself. Where are you? What are you afraid of? God asks us questions in the silence. What are you doing here, Elijah? Where are you, Adam? Locate yourself. Let him locate you. God asks us questions in the silence. How is your communion? I don't mean first and second Sunday with them. I mean with me. Amen. Amen. In the silence, God asks us questions. In the silence, God invites us to tell the truth and to pour out the issues of our hearts. He already knows anyway. Elijah said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites, those people, they've forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. Lord, I did everything. I did all the things. I did everything, Lord, that I thought you told me to do and say, and look where we are. Do you love me? Tell them the truth. He said, I'm left alone. And they're seeking my life to kill me. I'm afraid, Lord. Tell them. Why? Ask them. Why are you allowing this? It's in the silence. It's in the silence that we can ask God questions and pour out the issues of our hearts. In the silence, church, we get instructions for how to move forward. Don't you know that you can still stay home and still go new places in God? Don't you know that you can be in your house and still go to higher heights and deeper depths in Him? Don't you know that even in the silence, God can tell you how to move? In the silence, church, in the silence, hopeful believers, we get instructions for how to move forward. God says, I want you to shelter in place. Shelter in place inside my peace. God says, I want you to quarantine yourselves. Quarantine yourselves up under my wings. And then God told Elijah, now that you've been refreshed, now go. Go back on your way. Go back the way you came, believer. Return, church, to your first love. Go back on your way, the way that I set for you, church. Go back to where you last heard my voice. Go back on your way. God says to those of us who might be in the cave during the great mountain splitting, in the cave hiding during the rock-breaking winds, in the cave hiding, to those of us who've been sitting down on our faith in the midst of the ground-shaking earthquake, God says to those of us who have been hiding from our hope in the midst of the fire, God says, come out wherever you are and get on your way. The work continues. The ministry continues. And God says to Elijah, get up and go on the way that I've set for you. He's sending Elijah out to continue the work that he has for him. Get up, church. The word is on the way. And the word is on the way to anoint you to slay the enemy. You don't have to wear a robe to do it. You don't need to go to seminary to do it. But you've got the power of the Holy Ghost still on the inside. He's ready to commission you like he did Elijah. Commission you to pray like you've never prayed before. Amen? Amen. He's ready to commission you by the Holy Ghost to dance. To dance in your living room till your clothes fall off like David. He's ready to send you. Don't you hear the God of the silence? He's ever speaking to us. The God of the silence neither sleeps nor slumbers. So come on, Hazael, preside over your household with the authority of heaven. Come on, Jehu, take your place. Come on, Elisha, you have been, church, you have been, believer, you have been, mother, you have been prepared for this. And although you can't see them now because we are in our separate places, although you can't see them now, Elijah, please know that I'm saying to you today in the silence that you are not the only one. Even though you're in isolation, you are not alone. Yes, you are never alone. There are more that I have prepared for this fight. There are more that I have anointed for this fight. There are more who have been called, and I've sent my spirit to lay hands on for them to come out for such a time as this. There are more who are called. There are more who are sent. There are more who are coming, getting instructions right now in their kitchens in the silence. They're hearing from me right now. They're hearing from me in their bedrooms. They're hearing from me with their children. The word is coming in the silence. The rock-breaking word. The power of heaven is falling now on the church. There are more that I have set aside who have not sold out to the enemy. There are more who have not sold out to fear. There are more who have not sold out to anxiety. There are more who have not sold out to backbiting and criticism. There are more. There are more who have not sold out to giving up. There are more who have not sold out to selfishness. There are more who have not sold out to the systems of this world. There are more who are still looking up to heaven. There are more who get their strength from me. There are more who are coming, Elijah. Who have not sold out into the destruction. Don't you sell out, Christian. You stand and wait for the Lord to pass by. There are more. And I say this to you, that even in the silence, I am the all-knowing, ever-present, all-loving God. and I am still in control. To God be the glory. Would you celebrate the Lord who speaks to us even in the silence of our lives? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you. Oh, glory to God. We thank you that you're growing us up even today, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that you're helping us to look for you in new ways, to see you in new places, to hear you with new ears, to see you with new eyes, to worship you with elevated hands. Oh, we thank you for opportunities to praise you. We thank you, oh God, that even in the noise, even in the destruction, even in the wind, even through the fire, even through the earthquake, oh God, you are still coming, and we wait for you to pass by with your word, pass by with your healing, oh God, while on others you are calling, oh God. Do not pass us by. Thank you. Thank you for another day. We give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. If you are here, wherever here is, if you are here alive another day, able to make a decision, make one for Jesus. Jesus, God wrapped in flesh, who came down through 40 and two generations. God saw that we were so far apart from him, and we could only be reunited through Jesus, through the blood. So Jesus, God wrapped himself, was born of a woman and died on Calvary's cross. His body, his sinless body, was a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. He died so that you don't have to die in sin. If you've not yet made a commitment to Jesus, do it right now, wherever you are. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Save me, Lord. I know that you can. Amen. If we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, we are saved, rescued forever from this world. This is not our final resting place, and so we have hope in eternity with the God. And this Savior also wants to be our Lord. And so if you've been saved, but he's not been the Lord of your life, what better day than right now to turn your life back over to him? He's waiting for you. Not to condemn you, not to criticize you, but to say, come on home, back into the arms, back into the shelter, the only shelter that cannot be destroyed. So we thank God for all those who have given their lives today to Jesus, the eternal one, who have called again on the name of the Lord to be their king. Lord, we give our lives to you forever and ever, in Jesus' name. If you've made this decision, find yourself a Bible teaching, Bible believing church. Go online and listen for God's Spirit to guide you to word and to even fellowship in these times. People are available and praying for you even right now. We thank God for the fellowship around the world. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen.